I'm James Fritz, and I never listen to None Taken.
I wasn't recording last time you had a big squeaky microphone like that. That was nice.
Got so it. What's up? I saw you had a note about Maine.
Did you see that news?
I did. I saw it actually as I was working on the sheet. I saw the thing prop up on the crawl on the
did
bottom.
Did you do CNN. Some reading? I didn't put it in other news, though.
Yeah.
I guess that's how we're starting. I don't know. Should we talk about the news of the day? I have a question for you. It's just not like punchy. It's not. I'm not going to ask you this question and we go, hit the button. But you know what? Whatever. Okay. We'll do whatever. We don't have to do a fucking shock jock show. Right before we recorded, Maine disqualified Trump.
Yeah, the Secretary of State decided to pull Trump from their ballot, their primary ballot. And she said, I'm mindful that no Secretary of State has ever deprived a presidential candidate a ballot access based on Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. I am also mindful, however, that no presidential candidate has ever before engaged in insurrection. So she
also said, she's like, it's my job to make sure that the people that are on the ballot in our state meet the criteria, something like that, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when you put it like that, everybody listening knows my priors, but like, even if I didn't, that's a logical argument that I don't know what the argument against is. And if I hear a good one against it, I'm open to having my mind changed. I said it last week, or maybe it was the week before, whenever the Colorado news broke. This isn't my preferred way for him to not be the president.
Right,
again.
Sure.
But I also think that it's pretty straightforward to me that he did what they have described him having done. And, you know, it sounds to me like he violated the 14th Amendment and he's not eligible, you know? And then Paul in the group chat was like, you know, he hasn't been convicted of anything. What trial did he lose? And at first I was like, well, it's not like that. It's like a civil judgment. You know, it's not, you know, some things get decided without you getting like a jury. And then halfway through saying all that, I was like, wait, there was a trial. That's exactly what happened in Colorado, is there was a civil trial and his lawyers didn't win. And right. It went to the state Supreme Court on appeal, right?
Right.
So there was
it
a trial.
It wasn't a jury trial, but it was a judge.
But the argument that this is a banana republic because you can get taken off a ballot without having lost. He did lose a trial.
He did lose.
Now, this one's weird, though, that this is like one lady gets to do it. A lady, Alan?
I mean, I'm sure that will be appealed as well. And just to be clear about the trial in Colorado, I'm sorry, Colorado.
He's still on the ballot. Like that whole appeal process. They have to set their ballots by like January 5th or something like that. So
So they stayed the ruling to give the Supreme Court a chance to.
So he'll be there. He'll be on the ballot. They had to make a ballot. No, they have to take things to the printers and like get them ready for like early April or whenever they're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have a deadline of the 5th, I think. So it's also he's going to be on the ballot.
His lawyers could have chosen to ask for a jury trial.
Interesting.
They just didn't do that.
Wait, is that true?
Yeah.
That's really
now.
Funny.
Just because they asked for it doesn't mean it would be granted, but they could have.
Sure. I'm surprised. You'd think they'd actually like the aesthetic of saying that. So the thing in Maine is weird that one person can choose to do that. Like,
different states have their election set up differently. Different rules about what the Secretary of State can and can't do. In Maine, that is a power that's granted to the Secretary of State. So
she didn't want to make that decision.
I mean, that's tough for like one person to do that, but you know,
yeah,
I think she's right.
Yeah. I mean, again, like I think that there's evidence, like there's mm-hmm. evidence of what he did. I think that that's
there's
what,
plenty of evidence.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What
plethora
state
of evidence one might say.
Okay. I don't think you know what that word means. it's the short version of, the Three Amigos. So I saw somebody saying like, this is just going to lead to a whole tit for tat where Republicans get Biden taken off of the ballot. And at first I was like, oh, that sucks what American politics have come down to. And like, I didn't even finish the thought. And I was like, wait a second, for what?
Right.
For Hunter Biden? Like.
Also, the RNC doesn't control the Democrat primaries, but that's interesting.
Democrats don't control it. Okay. Yeah. Anyways. Right. Yeah. Okay.
I guess it still could happen. They could try to do it. Yeah. So a Republican Secretary of State in a state that had similar laws.
What would they find? What would they say that he did? The way he left Afghanistan was a traitor. He was traitorous.
Sure, they can throw that at the wall, I suppose.
Okay, throw it at the wall.
I don't think that's a constitutionally valid reason to remove him. But
okay, I'm just going to give you a choice here, and I'll ask you one of these questions. Number one or number two, Alan?
Ooh, let's go number one.
Number two. I heard number two. if Rule 34 exists, do you know what Rule 34 is, Alan?
Rule 34 is the Star Wars thing, right?
No. that's Order 44.
Okay. I don't remember Rule 34.
Rule 34 of the internet.
I know the term.
Rule 34 of the internet is if you can imagine it, then porn exists of it on the internet.
Oh, if it exists, there's porn of it. I see.
On the
internet. It's been a while.
On the internet.
Yeah. On the internet.
What's been a while? Since you read Rule 34?
Rule 34.
Okay, just making sure. All right. So if Rule 34 exists, then is Rule 35 the same thing but anti-Semitism?
Y'all let me in this damn house.
Should we hit record?
Yeah, one.
Yes,
two,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, all right,
if it exists on the internet.
I am
Rule
ready.
35.
Are you recording?
Yes. All right. Well, you want to start a show?
Let's start a show.
That podcast is filling your head with garbage.
No offense taken there.
Well, it sounds like none taken.
Boom.
To the Friday Headlines Roundup edition of None Taken, where every week my good friend Alan brings me a list of headlines. Sometimes he barely reads them. We come on here and we talk them at you. Because I listen to 13 hours of podcasts a day, sometimes audiobooks. And Alan watches 3 hours of cable news every damn day. So you don't have to. Well, it's, if you miss a little kids, you miss a lot. So don't miss our Friday show. It's a totally different show. Why am I telling that to people on the Friday listening? Anyways, head on over to FungibleNoneTakens.com, FungibleNoneTakens.com to buy our merch. We have lots of new products there with the new logo. We think you're going to like it. Drop us a line if you have suggestions for different merch, by the way, too. And support the people that support us. Head on over to Slickits Digital, SlickitsDigital.com for all your SEO and marketing needs. And if you, we're getting there, Alan. Don't worry. I didn't forget. You got to go to TrumpGags.com to join the show Patreon, and you can watch us perform this. The videos are posted there, and you'll get a warm, fuzzy feeling knowing that you helped out the show. I know it's a little late. Normally, I time it with the music, but I got too far, so I just kept going. Oh, I didn't close this down. Oh, man. Well, this won't be in the... See, this is Patreon exclusive. You can watch me fuck up the soundboard.
Yes, on the Patreon, you get to see all the fun and hijinks that we get up to that we edit out of the show.
As Alan says, how the sauce is made.
Sausage.
I know, but you said that once on the show.
I know.
Oh, you do?
I remember.
Okay, here we go.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, lighthearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
Exactly, sir. Welcome. Welcome.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Happy Friday. We're almost at New Year's.
Yeah.
Maybe you can...
One more day at work. Oh, I'm doing... You asked me what I'm drinking?
Yeah, what are you drinking?
I'm making another eggnog. Yeah, with the kitty cat.
Oh, are we having
mug.
Some eggnog fun on the show?
That cute little kitty cat.
Oh, that's cute. Is that a vintage?
I don't know. I almost turned it upside down to check. No, it's
don't
not.
Do that.
Alan's driving. I'm not driving.
We're going to get eggnog dusting again.
That was more of a Five Margaritas reference, not the
second part. Welcome to the show. Happy Friday, everybody. We got some headlines to talk at you, and then we're going to play a game.
I'm excited. Media. We got a new game this week.
Fun. I like games.
Do you want to hear what it is?
Yeah, I do.
I name a politician, and you tell me what dog they look like. what kind of a dog breed they are.
Wow. Okay.
It's going to be fun.
That sounds fun.
That's because I was watching the dog shows this weekend.
Oh, was it the Westminster?
Yeah. Yeah. That's it's kind of my Boxing Day tradition or Christmas Day tradition. It's one of the things that's on. But I'm sorry. You have headlines.
I watch the highlights usually. I don't watch the whole thing. But
yeah, it was fun watching the whole thing. And you could bop around to other channels, and they're doing like the skills competition. Those are a lot more fun because it's more objective, right? Objective?
Sure.
Subject. Shit. Objective.
Objective.
Yeah.
Because they have their toes on the
line. By the way, Ayn Rand calling her philosophy objectivism is kind of rude, right? Like, it's a little presumptive. It's like, okay, well... nobody else can win a fucking argument with you if you call it that, right? Like,
this is just the objective truth.
Yeah.
All right. Let's pop into some headlines here. The Biden administration approved a $250 million aid package for Ukraine.
Is that the one that we talked about when... so it got approved? Like, he said he was signed... Okay.
This is the final package it can offer without further congressional approval.
But he did that with the presidential drawdown money, right?
Yes.
And they've said that they have... $4.5 billion more dollars of that presidential drawdown, but for some reason they can't do the rest of that without congressional approval. But I thought the whole thing about the presidential drawdown is they didn't need Congress's approval. Can you explain that, or you just sign off that that's true?
All I know is it's true. So they've said that this is the last dip in the bucket they can do without congressional approval. And essentially what this is we're giving them munitions that we already have. And to replace those munitions in our stockpile will cost $250 million.
Right.
So it's not like we're signing them a check for $250 million.
And this is different than the $50 billion that they're saying they need to be able to fight for the next, like, semester or whatever this is fucking called.
Yeah.
Because that money's not just for them to fight with. That's also I think Ukraine has announced that, like, all their public office holders, whatever. Service, public service providers,
bureaucracy,
right. Everybody, anybody who's paid by the state is going to have to take like a 25% pay cut or something like that because
they just don't have the funds.
Because the money they were getting to run that was through the money that we were giving them.
Yeah. I think Biden actually has asked for $60 billion.
Oh,
but that's tied up in Congress with the whole they want to add border security.
Right.
Stuff
so they don't have principles. They're like, no, we'll totally cave. We just need you to say something that makes our old boss happy.
Right. And Congress obviously is in recess. So they're not even going to be around to.
Even when they leave, they get like, they call it something that makes them look like children. Like, we're on recess. It's lunchtime.
All right, you're
oh, thanks. I was too busy riffing, Alan. Sorry. don't bother me. I'm riffing.
Riffing over here.
Ukraine said it destroyed... This one's hilarious. Ukraine said it destroyed a Russian warship docked in Crimea. Russian acknowledges the damage. I'm so glad you didn't put the name of the ship in there. Nova...
It's very difficult.
Nova, no going to be a boat no more. That's what it's like. That's what it was. So some people are speculating that F-16s are already in the area because they lost three bombers in a week, something like that.
Yeah.
Three like long range bombers or those like fighter bombers or whatever. They look like fighter jets, but they're bombers.
Yeah.
I really sound like I know what I'm talking about, right? No. They're SU-34.
All right. Yeah. We'll get Kit back on that. Yeah. So this ship was a landing vessel.
I think people are saying that there's F-16s in the area.
People
and
are saying
F-16s
that,
might
yes.
have done this.
Yes, they are saying that.
All right.
So this was a landing vessel. It's used to transport troops as well as munitions.
Wasn't it unloading when they hit it?
Well, it was in port. So it was probably, and it's in Crimea. So it was probably loading up to go to the front. And people are speculating that it probably had Iranian drones on it because the explosion was larger than just would be produced from
an empty
the
boat.
Missile and gas or whatever that's on the boat.
Yeah.
So that's what they think it was because those drones have explosives attached to it.
That was a huge explosion, man.
Yeah, it was massive.
It looked like fucking Lebanon, the port in Lebanon.
Oh, that tanker.
Yeah.
So pretty big deal.
Silo.
Unclear, exactly how much this is going to hamper Russians' effort at the front, but it certainly didn't help.
Well, they're doing a bad job covering for it. That was other headlines. It's like, too. Look at this. They're trying to, they think we can't see this. Look, right. There's the smokestack. There's like this thing right. that used to be on the bridge. Like it's all just scattered in the harbor.
Right. They're like, it was a fire. A yeah. guy died. No
yeah.
big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Russia.
Who wins? All right.
I think that the warship's a bigger deal.
Okay. Warship.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What's up?
All right, Russia said it captured the eastern town of Marinka. Ukraine later confirmed its troop withdrawal. This town had been held by the Ukrainians for quite some time, even before the most recent hostilities. It was essentially like the gateway to the Donetsk area, where Russia had been for a while.
Donetsk or Luhansk?
Donetsk and Luhansk, both okay. in that area.
So it's like a gateway city? Is that what you're saying?
Essentially, yeah. They were.
So is this like one of the first cities they ever fought for when they had little green men and everything?
Yes, and they had a lot of fortifications in the city. It was kind of their barrier to Russia that held for many, many years. So I think this is a pretty big deal. You know, the Ukrainians are trying to say, well, you know, yeah, we've moved our troops back. But they're trying to downplay it. I think this is actually a pretty big deal that Russia was able to take this town. They had a lot of battlements there. They had tunnels dug. They had all the reinforcements, and they still weren't able to maintain it. So
that's a bummer. I don't have any thoughts to it. I mean, it's just this is what's happening in this phase in the war, you know. I think one of the headlines in other news deals with Putin signaling he's open for some kind of negotiation.
So I was just going to say that.
Yeah, I'll probably keep the rest of my thoughts for that. Russian Absolutely. Opposition leader Alexei Navalny. Hey, they found him. He was, hey, I was in a prison colony in Siberia after 3 weeks of uncertainty about his location. So it's like penal colony something or other. It was a former... So they used, I think they used convicts to build the Siberian railway. And this was like a town that they built up just mm-hmm. to put all the convicts in, like barracks and stuff, while they built the railroad. And then they fortified it to make it a modern, like Supermax or whatever.
Yeah, it's called IK3. It's in the Yamalo-Nenets Autonomous District. Supposed to be all know where that jails. Is,
yeah.
One of the toughest jails in Russia.
I was yeah, going was up to that region when COVID hit, really dampered my travel plans.
Yeah, totally. It's sort of been like a Where's Waldo sort of situation with, we don't know where we put him. We just lost him. So he's like, no, I'm here. It's all good.
Yeah, except his lawyers were unable to contact him for 4 days. Right. So wonder what happened to him then, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, we can't expect that he's being treated well by the Russians for sure. So, I mean... I'm actually kind of surprised that he's still alive. But yeah, so they found him. We found him.
Told his lawyers or people said, don't worry about me or whatever.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Is that like all coerced or is that him just being like, I'm already in Russian prison. Like I'm at another Russian prison. Guess what? They tortured me. Like this is all to be expected.
You know, that's difficult to say which.
But it almost doesn't matter, right?
It almost doesn't matter. Yeah. He has been pretty, you know, stoic, I would say, in his, you know, dealing with the situation. So I could see him just saying that because, you know, he's like, you know, fuck it. But also it could be coercion.
They kind of unpersoned him, huh?
Yeah, I mean, similar to WikiLeaks, Assange, kind of just the
exact
mental...
same. I mean, yeah, pretty much the same
the
thing.
Mental strain. Yeah. The mental strain mm-hmm. of that sort of situation is just... You know, it's difficult to even imagine what it would be like to be in their shoes.
And you know. Not for nothing, right? So that the next person that thinks that they can
exactly
go against the power of the state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think the capture of Marinka is a bigger deal.
Okay. Marinka. Wasn't that the lady in Law and Order SVU? Was her name like Marinka or something like
similar,
that?
Yeah. Similar. Okay. I can't quite
Mariska.
Pull it,
but it's... Something like it's that. Very she's similar, like a TV mom now in every family show. She's like an ABC family. Okay, yes, I'm thinking of Pretty Little Liars. What? Duh, obviously. I loved Pretty Little Liars.
I never watched that
it
show.
It was so good. It was such trash. I
know you
show.
Loved it. And then I was like, should I watch it? And you're like, no, don't watch
don't
it.
Don't watch it. But
it was your guilty pleasure, I guess.
I still love it, yeah.
All right. The Israeli military expanded its ground offensive into densely populated urban refugee camps in central Gaza, with intensified airstrikes in the area. And then part B, Israeli Minister Benny Gantz warned that the Israeli military will intervene if Hezbollah continues to fire on northern Israel from southern Lebanon, amid concern the Israel-Hamas war could expand into a regional conflict. So a number of people have been killed by these rockets that are being fired into northern Israel from Lebanon, civilians as well as soldiers both, and Israel has been firing back. Lebanon has said that, you know, we're not trying to escalate anything. You guys need to pull back. But obviously Hezbollah doesn't, the government of Lebanon doesn't have any real control over Hezbollah. They're their own.
Although sort of, Hezbollah does seem to have a, like a fraction of restraint compared to Hamas in terms of their decision making.
It does. Right? Although they've had cross-border raids, mm-hmm. not like October 7th, but they've had cross-border raids that, that
are you talking up, about like 2006 or are you talking about something more recently? Yeah.
No. Yeah. Back then. That ended up in almost a full-blown.
Oh, yeah. I remember being worried about that, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have a couple other headlines here that are concerning about just the tensions in that Gaza? Region. Well, I'm talking more like Iraq.
Later in the show. I was looking at the next headline.
Yeah. The tensions in that area are just blowing up all over the place. It's very concerning from a international peace sort of perspective. There's a lot happening over there right now.
Yeah, I
mean, it feels like there always is, but this seems like an escalation.
Did you see that?
A lot of different fronts.
I don't feel like it's directly related to what you were just saying, but when you talk about Israel and Benny Gantz, I hear those names. I remember that there was a poll recently in Israel where, like, overwhelmingly people want him to step down, want Netanyahu to step down. And mm-hmm. and he's just, I mean, he said they're, you know, what was the headline? Like, hey, the U.S. wants us to calm down. Like, we're not gonna. Like,
essentially. Yeah. And that's, I mean, we've discussed it before on the show, but he's been in hot water politically for quite a while. This coalition government that he formed is not the usual type of coalition he would form. But people have been pissed off, you know, with this whole Supreme Court thing that they were doing prior to October 7th. And then the way the intelligence community failed them, as well as, you know, the IDF hasn't performed very well either, shooting hostages, their own people. There is a lot for the populace to be upset about. And he's the figurehead, right? He's the head of state. And he doesn't want to take any responsibility for that. And I can understand why people would, you know, be unhappy about that.
Yeah. And if you keep it on the offensive, then you don't have to face the facts like stuff in this next headline. So UN food security analysis found that 26% of Gaza residents face catastrophic hunger. That number, 26%, is over 500,000 people. So catastrophic hunger and Gaza risk famine within 6 months amid ongoing conflict and restricted humanitarian aid. So we've heard that, like, that's not really like super groundbreaking to hear in that context. But when you factor on top, like, we know that they're starving, we know that food's not getting in. But the other thing to keep in mind in the context of that is all of the conditions are right for there to be a horrible, infections, right? Like, these are the exact conditions of cholera, which mm-hmm. is why the Houthis have such common cause with them. 300,000 people died in Saudi Arabia's war against the Houthis in Yemen. And I think a lot of them were the deaths from like cholera, babies.
Disease. Yeah.
And, yeah.
Diarrhea. Yeah. So not only is there a lack of food, there's a lack of fresh, clean water. There's a lack of sanitation, garbage, sewage, all that doesn't exist.
You know, find out what you're sick with. You can't get a test for anything because they don't have the supplies to conduct.
The hospitals are being bombed.
They stopped bombing the hospitals, Alan. They got them all.
They don't have the medicines that they need. It's just across the board. It is the precursor to a severe humanitarian crisis. Not that it already isn't one, but it could get significantly worse in the near future if things aren't fixed. Now, we do have a headline next, which is, you know, some improvement, but let's do the tournament on this one first.
You tell me.
I think the crisis in Gaza.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing because them expanding their offensive only.
Yeah, I mean, I think their defense minister just came out and said, look, we're having like a 7-front war right now with Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, Gaza, the West Bank. It's all over the place. But yeah, I think certently the tensions with Lebanon are concerning, but I think the humanitarian crisis is a bigger deal. We're talking about over 500,000 people facing catastrophic hunger. That's massive and very sad.
It's a preview when we talk about wanting like total war, right? I mean, not nobody wanting that. I mean, some people do, right? Not being prepared to prevent that. I mean, this is what's going to happen in densely populated areas.
Yeah.
More and more so. That's the thing. This is one of the most densely populated areas on Earth. So this was going to be the result. And the counter argument would be that the reason that this hasn't happened yet is because Israel knew it would be this bad if they went full on. But they're just kind of exercising all their demons now, and nobody's stopping them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And I mean, just, you know, beyond those 500,000 people, virtually everybody in the Gaza Strip has been displaced from their home. You know, there's almost nobody that's still like where they were 2 months ago. So, you know, you add all of that to this, the situation is just a powder keg. And like I've said since the beginning, all you're going to do, in my opinion, the more that Israel, you know, doubles down on this, the more terrorists they're going to create in the future. Because people are going to remember that this happened to them and their families and who did it to them. And they're going to resent them for that.
Yeah, I mean, that is what history tells us. I mean, that I do understand the human nature side of it, that says maybe you should be mad at the people that got this all going in motion. But, you know.
And we're talking like 20, I think the most recent.
Oh, more than 20,000 people.
Yeah, the most recent estimate from the Hamas health ministry is like 22,000.
But that doesn't count the people that are under rubble
that we don't even know about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, a little bit better news here.
Oh, okay.
The UN Security Council adopted 13-0 resolution calling for immediate aid delivery to Gaza at scale, but did not include an original request for the cessation of hostilities. The U.S. and Russia abstained from the vote. That's why it was 13-0 when there are 15 members Security Council. Yeah. Russia wanted the cessation of hostilities to be included. The U.S. did not. Huh. They had attempted to pass this for quite a while, and both, you know, either the U.S. or Russia would veto it. And remember, on that panel, only one state has to veto it, and it doesn't go through. So the fact that they were able to manage to get this through, at least to get some humanitarian aid into Gaza, I think is some welcome relief, hopefully, and all those 500,000 of people perhaps can be impacted positively by this.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that will start happening.
Yes.
How are they going to inspect all those trucks that quickly? Every truck going in gets inspected to see if there's weapons going.
Right. You know, I didn't see anything about the logistics of how they're going to do that. I can look into that.
Israel could just be like, well, we tried.
That's
probably what they do. The U.S. carried out airstrikes against Iran-backed militia groups at three locations in Iraq yesterday, or the other day, after Christmas. We talked about this.
We talked about it vaguely.
But it's kept happening. So this is after the Christmas morning drone attack at Erbil Air Force Base, or Air Base, left three U.S. service members wounded. Did I read that right? Iran said that when they went after that Erbil target, it was because it provided Israeli intelligence.
I think that they did say that. Yeah. So this was the headline that I saw as we were recording on Tuesday, and I talked about it briefly on the show, but we didn't have as much information as we do now. So yeah, Iran is claiming that.
Wasn't that what you came back from half with? Like, I know.
I think so. Yeah, I think
you didn't,
so.
Turns out you didn't get a chance to dive deep during my tea break.
Yeah. So Biden was in Camp David for the holiday when this happened. He immediately convened with his Security Council, and they put together a plan and executed it. How come
that doesn't have to go through Congress?
That's an interesting question. Hmm. I guess because there already is an AOMF.
I guess so. Right. Oh, yeah. They could call these combatants under the justification of ISIS being blah, 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 which didn't even exist in 2001 when the AMF was passed.
Right. Authorization of military force. Yeah.
AUMF.
So that was like a broad spectrum, essentially a blank check to just be like,
oh, any terrorists that right. are people supporting
that's the
them.
Same thing that Trump used to kill Soleimani.
Yeah.
Think, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So I believe that's probably how they did this without Congress, because Congress approved it 10 years ago.
It's not supposed to be this way.
It's really not.
All right.
Okay. Bigger deal, I think, is the aid to Gaza.
Wait, we already have that.
Oh, no. Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Oh, no, we have the catastrophic thing in Gaza.
Oh,
and then we have the
Gaza aid.
Yes.
So Gaza bad is the last one, and this one Gaza good.
Right.
Okay. Right. Got to keep
all right. Secretary
there.
Of State Blinken.
Hey, Blinken.
With Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas visited Mexico on Wednesday.
Avocados from Mexico.
To discuss immigration enforcement amid an ongoing surge of migrants at the U.S.-Mexico border. So,
dude, it's really bad. Like,
The next headline goes into some of that. According to Blinken and spokespeople for Mexico, including the president, Juan Manuel
López Noriega.
Obrador.
Just say AMLO. AMLO.
There you go. That's easier. Said that the talks went well. The president of Mexico did sort of...
he had a couple of cheap shots.
He had a couple. He wants the U.S. to remove some sanctions on Cuba.
And Venezuela.
So a lot of the people that are coming through from Guatemala into Mexico that are then going to the U.S. are people from Haiti, from Cuba, and I can't remember the other country. There's three countries they're mostly from. So, he was like, hey, maybe you guys should reduce sanctions and people wouldn't want to leave their countries so badly, which I think it's fair. Fair point.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes sense if you're going to put sanctions on a country like that you follow it up with an ability for people to leave, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I would agree. Yes.
I guess it's the same thing. Yeah. I thought he also wanted investment and aid in those other countries as well, too.
He did say that as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Like you said, coming along on the same note, a migrant caravan with a reported, is it only 6,000 people? I thought there was a bigger number.
That's the most recent number I saw.
Left southern Mexico city of Tapachula toward the U.S. border in the largest such group since 2022. So last year. The pregnant pause.
Mm-hmm.
It's... I don't know. I'm sorry. I got distracted. Full disclosure, Alan, I have the Oklahoma game in a sub window. And
okay.
Oklahoma's quarterback just threw an interception.
I have some comments.
Fine.
So Tapachula is near the Guatemalan border, and Mexico has been doing some enforcement of security there because some drugs are getting in through that border. But also migrants, people are getting in as well. These people are traveling in a caravan because it's safer, they're less likely to get taken advantage of by criminal gangs and things like that. So that's why you see these caravans where people kind of stick together, because it's harder for them to be taken advantage of that way. It's a concern. And obviously it's a very big, when you see a group of 6,000 people marching towards your border, that's a pretty big deal. And it makes some good news footage. The Republicans are using this issue to batter Biden on his immigration policy.
Fried, smothered. How do you like them at Waffle House?
I like smothered.
Yeah. Smothered and covered.
But they haven't been willing to present any sort of real immigration reform themselves either.
Sure.
But it is an issue for Biden. It looks bad.
It is also really bad, right?
Like, it is really bad. So, but optically, politically also, it's a problem. So
I know what I was thinking that I was trying to fish out of my brain earlier. It was something Greg had said in the group chat. So you're familiar with the whole hybrid warfare that they talk about with the Finland-Russian border and a bunch of Middle Eastern migrants being ported up there from Russia and put on that border.
Mm-hmm.
So Greg was kind of comparing that to what's going on with these caravans. And I just don't think it's the same thing. I don't think that, there is a huge increase in Chinese, Afghanistan. I can't remember. There's a few other Syrian, I think There's a few other surprisingly like spike in numbers compared to last year or the year before coming from those countries, like I just listed.
Yes.
But it's like a few hundred. It's not, which is a lot. And it's especially when it goes from like nearly zero, literally from each of those countries caught at the border. But there's like hundreds being caught now. But I don't feel like that's the same thing as the intention of that hybrid warfare style. If the entire caravan was being coordinated to be used in that way, I would buy it. But there's real push-pull mechanisms happening. The issue with Russia is that Russia's taking people that don't border there and busing them up there intentionally. And that's not happening with Mexico.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, that's correct. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, still, I mean, so Biden's going to have to figure something out, you know, to do about this, respond to it. Customs and Border Patrol is understaffed. They don't have enough people to really man the border right now. So there's a lot of issues there. And as I said, politically, optics wise, it's just it's not a good look going into an election year.
Yeah. All right. So who wins?
I want to say, let's be optimist and say that perhaps there's some collaboration between the U.S. and Mexico to do something
positive. Yeah, I mean, I do get more of a feeling that there is potentially that with this guy. And I didn't expect AMLO to be he's, to a lot of people's eyes, he's like a socialist, and he could be like a socialist dictator there, right?
I think some people see him in that light, yes.
I mean, wasn't he like the hugs, not guns or whatever guy? And then he also did the thing where he put all of the police under the federal military, I believe, which I think was an issue with cartels and not being able to trust.
It was an issue with cartels and corruption. Yeah.
But at the same time, like they're on the formula of a bad system in place. Like, say he's doing this right. I'm not saying I know enough to say he is, but say he's doing this right. All the things that he's changing are going to really make it difficult to get rid of a very corrupt person in power later. I don't know. It's not a good thing.
Mm.
So I guess what I meant to say is at the beginning of that, I didn't have high expectations of him in office, but it does seem like he's having good negotiations.
I think if you look at the Mexican economy and just overall, there has been some positive movement since his administration took power.
And we need it. So it's important to us. I mean, if we can have that. So they're talking about having a huge transportation hub from like the Yucatan Peninsula up to just like connecting all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, things like that are going to have to take place for Mexico to be like a manufacturing side of the regional power that we hope to have between us, Canada, some Central American countries, maybe even Argentina, as we deglobalize more.
Exactly. As we attempt to pull manufacturing out of places like China make it more North American centric or American overall centric.
It's very cheap to transfer things across the ocean. If it's not cheap because you can't have trusted global transport or you lose those connections that we have, you know, via war or just via decoupling.
Like the Suez Canal.
Yeah, Panama, yeah. You know, that having all of those things locally is going to be how you need to do it again. So, you know, we'll see. It won't be good, absolutely. But we're in a better situation than most people on the planet. Okay, what do you got?
The Colorado Republican Party appealed the state Supreme Court ruling barring former President Trump from the 2024 primary ballot to the U.S. Supreme Court.
So it's being repealed. It's being appealed.
It's being
officially going to be appealed. We jumped straight to the conclusion of what's going to happen when this gets appealed, but we never really.
Yeah, I think it was a foregone conclusion this was going to happen, but it has. So we'll share that.
All right. The Michigan Supreme Court rejected a bid to bar former President Trump from the state's primary under the constitutional clause, insurrection clause, contrasting with a rule by Colorado's top court. Did you see their logic in this?
I don't remember the details. I did read the article, but I don't, what was it?
No, I'm asking you.
Oh, I'm like, Dustin has insight.
No.
I did. What was it about? Said they were not persuaded the questions presented should be reviewed. Goddamn ads, by this court. So essentially, I guess they said that they didn't believe
that it was an insurrection. They didn't think that he had qualified
or that they had standing in reviewing this.
Oh, okay. No, they punted. Okay.
Yeah, they punt.
All right. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, not, we just yeah I mean, I think we're going to see a lot of these rulings going back and forth. Ultimately, I think the states, whatever the states decide, isn't really going to matter. It's going to be what the Supreme Court decides, because that's going to be the law of the land, essentially. So we'll see what happens there.
Do you want to talk about this next one here?
Should we do tournament first?
Let's skip it on that. It's kind of okay. We covered that.
Yes. Yeah. Sure. Are you asking because you don't? Or
no, I was unfamiliar with this story.
Okay. A Colorado jury found two Denver area paramedics guilty of criminally negligent homicide for administering Elijah McCain an overdose of ketamine in 2019 while restrained by police in the first criminal prosecution of medical first responders in such a case. So this case didn't get a lot of like news coverage until George Floyd happened. And then they're like, oh yeah, this case too. Essentially, this kid was walking home from like a convenience store. He had a hoodie on and he had his headphones in, and the police stopped him because they thought he looked suspicious and there had been some reporting of a suspicious person in the area. Hmm. Obviously, that's always, you know, that's
was he holding a Snickers
say.
Bar or Skittles? Did he have Skittles? Was his hoodie
out? He did have some sort of, I don't remember, ice cream or something. Anyway, so they attempted to detain him. He apparently was sort of, I don't know, antisocial is the right word. He wasn't comfortable around people. And he said he essentially requested to be left alone. He's like, leave me alone.
Oh, I remember this. Yeah.
I didn't do anything wrong. One of the cops claimed that he had attempted to grab his gun or another cop's gun.
That's tempting.
Now, the body camera footage doesn't show that.
Oh.
But the cop claimed that that's what he saw. And he calls it out. You can hear him say it in the video. They then obviously escalate the situation. They get him on the ground, similar to the Floyd situation. They have a knee on his neck. Paramedics are called in, and they administer the ketamine. There's some condition where they say somebody's like in an excited state and they need to calm them down, which is very controversial. They've used that claim in a lot of different cases, and it really doesn't hold up in court.
With using drugs with using like ketamine?
With using force like that and drugs to respond to it.
Okay.
The paramedics are supposed to check the person's pulse, do a couple of other things before they administer something like ketamine to calm somebody down. They didn't do that in the video, although they claimed to.
Oh.
They also administered a significantly larger dose than would be okay for somebody of his body size.
Oh, wow. They Matthew Perry'd him.
Essentially, yeah. And also, the claim was that he was resisting when they administered this. He was not.
Yeah.
He was essentially out when they did this.
So they found that when you're saying all that about him resisting and all that, that's on the cops though, right? That's not the paramedics.
Right. So
they found the
cops,
paramedics guilty for the lethal dose, basically.
Yes. Yes. Essentially. So it was like negligent homicide. There were some cops that were tried as well. And some cops did, they were convicted of some minor charges in this incident. Nothing like what happened with Chauvin and Floyd. But the paramedics were held responsible for the death because the administration of the ketamine was what was determined to actually have killed him.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah.
Like all I think when I hear these headlines, like there's all the outrage and every avenue you can go down with that. But I mean, just You're talking about the power of the state coming down on an individual that didn't deserve it and multiple aspects of his interaction with government employees just failing him, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like it's just that's just goes into the fucking furnace for me of like, God damn it. It's why like I struggle so much with dealing with the legitimate. Like, did you listen to his Philosophize This?
No, I didn't get to that yet.
So he's kind of talking about anarchism. And so he uses Chomsky's definition to say that if I'm trying to think of a joke about Chomsky, but I'm going to pass that any position of authority, be it like the head of the household to a principal to a political figure, they constantly have to be justifying their authority over you. And when you see these types of interactions, you're just like, you're devaluing any justification for for the authority that you're given and the power you have.
It's a horrible situation. And the fact that I would imagine that the number of cases that we actually are aware of pale in comparison to mm-hmm. what happens to people every day by law enforcement.
And it goes without saying that there's good interactions. Like, I get that, but like these sure. shouldn't happen. Like
these shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
The city of Denver, I think, settled with the family for like $15 million, but they're never
city of Denver, that. The city of Denver, not yeah. the police they're, pension fund, not no. the paramedics retirement yeah. fund. Right.
No, no.
So there's no incentive for them to make sure that their employees don't do this.
It's horrible all the way around, man. It sucks.
All right.
I wanted to talk about it because I don't think.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it anywhere. I mean, I kind of had you. I almost had you skip this. I was like, why are you even talking about this? Some niche story. Yeah. Yeah. President Biden pardoned thousands of individuals convicted of marijuana use and simple possession on federal lands and in D.C. I think that sounds the same. But, and granted clemency to 11 serving long terms for nonviolent drug crimes. So. Thousands. So before mm-hmm. it was like, can he only pardon federal though, right? So like
yes.
all the people Kamala Harris locked up, they're still in there.
They're still there.
Okay.
Yeah. The federal government they're working to classify marijuana as a Schedule 3.
It is weird that her boss is undoing her work.
Yeah, well, not her specifically because she was
state. We clarified that. Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. So they're working to move marijuana to a Schedule 3 narcotic as opposed to a Schedule 1, which significantly reduces the sort of impact that law enforcement would right. have around those kind of
no legitimate. The Schedule 1 has like no legitimate
usage. Yeah. 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 So
sure
other than those 11, as far as I could tell reading about this, nobody was released from prison
yet
because of this decree. Mm-hmm. Essentially, it applied to a lot of people. It's kind of like expunging their record. So that when they go to apply for a home, you know, to rent a house or buy a house, or
they won't have
they go to get
a
job.
Felon.
What's that?
They won't have
yeah,
to.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. When they go get a job, that kind of thing, they don't have to, you know, they're not a felon anymore.
Yeah.
So for the most part, that's who was impacted by this. I think there's still a long ways to go. I included this headline after the one we just read.
Right. No, they're good segmented together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who wins the drug wars?
Man, I mean, that story in Colorado is so sad.
It's so heartbreaking. But
it's heartbreaking. But I think
I feel like the impact on people that, again, that didn't do anything, there's a more massive impact. Real cases, that individual experience, Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. hopefully it doesn't happen enough. Yeah. Okay, so.
The pardoning.
Pardon, okay.
All right, we move on to econ. We got a couple headlines here. The New York Times sued Microsoft and OpenAI for copyright infringement, alleging that they illegally used the newspaper's content without permission to train AI models in a potential industry-shaping case. So
they basically said, you read all our articles and you could like answer people's queries yep. about what the New York Times said about this. So therefore, it's the same thing. But then didn't they follow it up with, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Didn't they follow it up? But Microsoft also, the New York Times also was like, oh, and when people are doing that, a lot of times it's wrong too. So it makes us look bad. It's like, well, if it's wrong, then what the fuck are you suing them for? Like, it's just like, it's obviously not doing a good job. So I think they'll lose with that. That a good lawyer will make the argument I just made better. Like, you can't come here saying they're doing all this and stealing our product and getting it wrong all the time. You can't have both those things.
So the suit alleges that in the training of these large language models, which we've talked about before on the show, essentially they train these models on huge data sets of text, right? Grabbed from all over the internet, all over social media, apparently also from news sites. They grab all this text and they put it into these models, and the models are able to predict what the next word should be in a sentence when somebody asks it a question. They show examples in this suit of essentially verbatim quotes from the Times in search results on these large language models. So like paragraphs which are identical to the paragraph that was written by a reporter paid for by the New York Times. I think that actually they do have some ground to stand on. I think they might be successful here. OpenAI says that, hey, we were in negotiations with the Times about this. We're disappointed that they decided to sue us. We thought we were going to be able to work this out, you know, amicably.
OpenAI has all the money. But I bet that means New York Times is asking for all the money. And they're like, look, we're not going to give you that. Here's a number you would have settled for before you understood how big of a deal we are. You know,
I did not read what the number they were seeking was. I didn't see that in the reporting.
It's hard to be objective about it. Like, the deal you make before that company blows up is not the amount you get after you've seen its success, right?
But they didn't make a deal.
I know. What I'm saying is a number that they would have settled on prior is not going to be what you would judge their worth be now, which in a way isn't fair because they should have made that choice back then. But they never came to them before, is what they're saying.
They never asked for permission to do this.
You know what? Part of doing I'll ask for permission later is you got to deal with them asking for that higher amount then.
Yeah. Another thing that they allege in the lawsuit is they have a side of New York Times called Wirecutter, which I've never really.
I always forget that that's New York Times. I hear them talk about it in their commercials.
Yeah. So essentially it's like a almost like a, what was that? There was a website. A product review thing.
Yeah, where they, CNET.
Yeah, CNET, exactly.
Where CNET they were, bought my uncle's company.
Did they really?
Yeah, back in like 99 or something.
Dude, I used to go to CNET for everything. Like before you buy a router, you'd go to CNET.
You could go there for Nordby International.
Right. Wow. So essentially that's what Wirecutter is. And they claim that OpenAI uses stuff from their product recommendations without providing the links that the Times gets a cut of, I guess, when people go click on that and buy it. So they're alleging that as well. So I don't know. Interesting to see. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. The core PC, what? PCE?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
It's a weird one. I'll pull it up.
Okay, so it's a different number of inflation than we've been using. So we're going to get a number. You're going to compare it to the old number and think it's good. That's the trick they're playing.
Personal consumption expenditures.
Okay, not the one we've been using all the last 2 years, but a different one.
Not the CPI or PPI.
The core PCE price index, the Fed's preferred measure of inflation, rose 3.2 in November from a year ago, below expectations. The average 30-year fixed mortgage rate, meanwhile, fell to 6.67 this week, hitting a six-month low. And then the Fed was like, we might actually lower rates. And people were like, yay. And they were like, actually, I have a clip for next week's show that kind of gets more into it, but basically if you look at a cycle, every time that the recession hits, it's after they think that they're landing the plane and they start lowering rates and then everything collapses then. Because we still have the inverted yield curve and that has never missed. This is the longest it's gone without proving the recession that it predicts. It feels like that fuse is still burning. We just don't know how long it is. It's a hot potato. It could be.
There's been a slowdown in rent inflation that they think is going to further reduce inflation. The Fed is saying, as you said, that they're likely to cut interest rates by 0.75% in 2024 as of right now, given what they're seeing. There was also some positive news.
0.75%? Oh, over the course of the year.
Yeah, over the course of the year, yeah. There's also some positive news from the UK that their economy seems to be rebounding. That might be good for Rishi Sunak. I saw a headline about that today as well.
Some good luck for Rishi Sunak.
Finally, that guy. You know, you never
poor, so put
never
upon.
Catch a break. That guy,
so pretty.
So, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say this is transitory.
Right? It's also weird that they're doing the new number. I've never heard this PCE index before.
You know what? I had to look it up.
It's kind of weird. I wonder how
they're saying this is their favorite one.
Well, why weren't they using that before? What's the CPI for last month? I'm going to decide the winner in the meanwhile. I think the effects of the New York Times OpenAI thing is a larger effect.
I agree.
OpenAI. Okay. And then I'll set up the. So we have Russian warship versus which story from Russia?
3.1.
3.1. Huh. Yeah. So actually kind of the same. If not, it would have been better for them to use that 3.1 number. Okay. Well, fuck me then. Russian warship blowing up. Russian warship, go fuck yourself. Or,
I think we already covered that, really.
I know. We're doing it. Yeah. Is it that or Marinka?
Oh, tournament. My bad. I was going to other news already. I'm like, do we have another news story about that, too?
Okay. Yeah.
Russian ship.
Oh, yeah. We need one more.
Okay. All right.
We'll have a winner of the other news.
Let's do this one. This is a fun one.
I thought this was bizarre.
Teen who leaked Grand Theft Auto 6 sentenced to indefinite stay in secure hospital, report says.
I mean, if I can summarize this in one sentence, having not read the article, is the story he's too autistic to be in the open and they need to keep him medically supervised because he keeps leaking things and he says he'd love to do it again?
Yes.
Like he's not grasping the consequences or concerned about the consequences?
Yeah, they say he's a high risk of serious harm to the public through skill in gaining unfettered access to computers.
Now, he is autistic, right? Didn't they say that? Like that I didn't make that up. I'm not.
No, he is autistic. In fact, I was trying to.
Typicals.
Doctors had deemed Kurtaj, who was severely autistic. I've never heard that word. Those two words in
order. I've heard severely ADHD.
Severely autistic, unfit to stand trial. They're putting him in essentially what, you know, we would have called here back in the 50s a loony bin or an asylum sort of type situation in the UK.
Okay.
This kid, so they had him in custody essentially already, and he was able to, through the use of his cell phone, of Amazon Fire Stick, and a TV, hack into the source code for this game that's like one of the most anticipated games.
That's
out.
When he got the Grand Theft Audio auto hack was through that method while through he was in method. Custody.
Yes.
Wait, does that mean he used the little down, 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 left, right to select each letter and then go space and then special character?
I would like to have Hacker in the Fed explain to me how he did that. But so he did this while he was in custody. He then emailed the maker of I think it's Rockstar Games. He emailed them and was like, hey, you need to pay me or I'm going to release this. And then they didn't respond. So he just put out the source code from his fucking phone.
That's so impressive, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a crazy article. I think that was probably the most fun of the.
Whether Putin's saying he wants to do a ceasefire or not, I don't know if there's anything to that.
Erdogan calling Netanyahu Hitler. That was another.
That was pretty hilarious.
That was pretty hilarious. He's done it before, though. That's not.
Oh,
the first
he
time
has.
He
okay.
That. Yeah.
Right. He also was like, he's rich. He has all the money. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man! Like, you're hitting all the bases here.
Right. Just oh yeah. Got like, it all like Erdogan hasn't profited from being. Right.
Yeah. No shit. Okay.
All right.
Tournament. Russian Warship versus Marlenka. I want it to be Russian Warship.
Me too.
Okay. Warship. Gaza good versus Gaza bad.
We'll be optimists. Let's go good.
Gaza good. Avocados from Mexico or what do we have here? I did not
avocados.
What's the Mexico story?
Was it the immigration?
Yeah, immigration from Mexico.
Right.
Versus what's this one? Pardons? Pot pardons?
Oh, the pot pardons. I think
immigration. No, pot immigration. Pardons.
Pot pardons? Okay, I can go either way there.
It doesn't matter.
And then we have
OpenAI versus that
crazy hacker man.
Yeah.
OpenAI is a bigger deal.
OpenAI. Okay. Okay. We've got the warship versus. This is tenuous at best, Alan. Why are we doing this?
I don't know.
Gaza good. Can we just.
You know what,
Gaza
though?
Good?
I will say this. It's the way I do the sheet since we started doing tournament has changed.
Oh.
And I think it makes the show better.
Okay.
Whether the tournament aspect of it really does or not, I don't know.
We should start doing semifinal rounds earlier so that it's not weird at the end.
Yeah, probably. Because I don't think about the semifinal rounds. I only think about the individual matchups.
Okay, Warship versus Gaza. It's Gaza good.
Let's go Gaza good.
Okay. And we have OpenAI versus...
I think Gaza good wins.
Gaza
that's
good
the biggest.
Wins. Okay, Gaza good.
Let's be humanitarian. All
right, okay, that'll do a lot. Yeah, I'll change my Instagram background.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers. What have you been watching, buddy?
All right, so I watched Rebel Moon, the newest.
Yeah, I jumped on it with you earlier and was like, oh, yeah, I watched that too. And then like a lot of people hit me up and they were like, so you liked that? I was like, oh, no, I wasn't clear. It was terrible. Like, it's a bad movie, but I did watch it. So
the latest Tim Snyder movie on Netflix. Tim Snyder. I don't know, man.
It's not Tim Snyder.
What was?
It's Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder.
Tim Snyder
wrote
on
Tyranny. You know
what I was
thinking about Tim? Because Tim had the funniest line. We were talking about it in the chat.
Yeah.
He's like, what the fuck? How many times can this movie jump the shark? Like, how many sharks are in this movie?
Yeah, it's insane. Like, because it doesn't matter. It's just one music video scene after another music video scene. Like, That's
to me, it felt like a knockoff of Star Wars.
Of course. With like Warhammer elements, right?
Right, right. Yeah, and I was like, oh, it's like Star Wars, but no lightsabers. And then there were lightsabers.
Do you remember that character, that bird-looking character?
Yeah.
That bird looked real.
I mean, the CGI, yeah.
I guess while I was watching the movie, I was like, here's a note for this. That bird looks real. It's right here bird on the sheet. Looks real. So that,
oh, I see it.
That bird looks real.
Birds aren't real.com.
Yeah, that was pretty close to a bird.
I also watched Maestro, which is like the Leonard Bernstein.
Leonard Bernstein biopic
on Netflix. That wasn't bad. I mean, if you're into Leonard Bernstein, sign, however you say it, it's kind of fun. It's shot in 4:3, mostly black and white, and then it transitions to color for some reason at some point. But yeah, it wasn't great, but it wasn't bad either. It was better than Rebel Moon. I'll say that.
Quite a compliment there.
Yeah.
Man, I can't find just a YouTube, video of Leonard Bernstein isolated from the REM song. Mm-hmm. That's probably for the best. I'm going to stop searching. I can't believe it. I can't be the only person that likes to scream that part of that song. It's the end of the world as we know it.
As we know it, yeah.
I feel fine.
That's from Automatic for the People album, I think.
Might have been. That's right. It starts with a earthquake, bird, snakes, mm-hmm. and rattles, planes. No. Sorry. Birds, planes, and rattlesnakes, right? Do you care? Should I keep going?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is birds, planes, and
rattlesnakes. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. Okay, yeah.
I thought it was not insane. No, it is afraid.
You're not right. Afraid, yeah. Definitely insane. Lenny Bruce is insane.
Definitely.
Rebel Moon, bad. That bird looks real. I watched the dog shows. That was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. That's actually what inspired me. I said that already to our upcoming game. I watched the first 15 minutes of a Nick Cage movie called The Retirement Plan, and I think you can judge for yourself if that sounds like it's a good movie. I guess he has a new movie out on some streaming site that I don't have that Tim was watching. I think he said it was good, but I can't remember the name of it. He has a couple of new movies out.
There's a movie where I talked about it on the show before, where a guy gets kidnapped by him, and he doesn't know why, but he really does know why. It's kind of an indie film. I can't remember what it's called.
Well, if you remember, let me know. I'll watch that. I don't remember it. The series I've been watching that's been really good, I've been waiting until the last episode to talk about it, is Murder at the End of the World. So it's on Hulu. It's a series. You'll like it, Alan. You'll really like it. I highly recommend it. 5 out of 5.
Okay.
This is like an Agatha Christie type.
Oh.
But it's done. So it's like all these people.
Like Murder on the Orient Express kind of thing?
Sort of. It's one of those. I brought you all here so that we can have this. And then one by one, people start going. Except it's really, really well done. And dealt in a very... almost in like it's an alternate universe, maybe like a few years ahead of us. Technology is a little bit, it's like Black Mirror, where it's like, it could be today or it could be like 5 years from now. It's after like a slight technical breakthrough. And so it deals with a lot of technical and AI and, I don't want to spoil it. It's a great whodunit. It kind of keeps you guessing the whole way, at least for me. I'm not dumb, you know. there is a point towards like right before the big reveal where you're like, oh, right, I got it now. But it gets you to there. And it kind of has you guess. It's on Hulu, Murder at the End of the World. It's called that because it's at like a they're at like a north south. They're at like some Arctic outpost.
So it's not like Douglas Adams, the restaurant at the end of the
not
universe.
Not the end of the universe in that way.
Okay,
no,
got it.
No. That's it. That's all I got for movies. Can we get into our game of the week?
I'm ready.
I think we can do this more often. I just have to be foresighted enough to imagine the correct answer for what kind of a dog these political figures look like. So, Alan, I'm going to name 4 politicians.
Mm-hmm.
Political leaders, either present or just former. First one's George Santos. And you have to guess the correct dog that they look like.
Okay.
So there is a correct answer.
Okay. There is a correct answer.
Yeah, I have it highlighted so you don't see it.
Okay.
All right. So first one is George Santos, Alan. And you can't say potato. Well, you can, but I don't think that's going to help. It works for me. What dog is a potato? Listeners are screaming it. Everybody knows this. Yeah, what dog is a potato? George Santos, what dog is he? What dog would a potato be? What dog would you call a potato? Oh, come on. It's on the tip of
like,
your tongue.
What's the dog? The Spuds McKenzie dog.
That's a potato?
I don't know.
No. Pug. Pugs are potatoes.
Oh, obviously. A pug?
Yeah.
A pug does make sense.
Or French bulldog. I will give George Santos a pug or a French bulldog.
I was also thinking Shar Pei, but...
I don't know what those look like, so I wouldn't have said that.
They look like pugs, but they're bigger.
Well, just so you know, in the future, if you say Shar Pei, I'm not going to have... If you say Shar Pei in the future, you're just not listening, because I don't know what a Shar Pei looks like. Okay, I don't need to know what a Shar Pei looks like. Let's go with a fun one. Trump. What dog is Trump? So far, you have not guessed correctly.
He's that dog from Turner and Hooch that drools a lot.
No, wrong. No, okay. Wrong.
Jesus.
Sorry. Trump is a golden retriever. You know why?
No.
Yes, he is.
Okay, why?
Because he's fluffy. What do you mean no? Look at that golden hair. Look at that lovely golden hair.
Oh, I see.
And you know why?
Why?
Because they're both Scottish.
Oh,
golden
okay.
retrievers come from Scotland, and so does Donald Trump.
Golden retrievers are just too
they have a happy
nature.
Disposition. I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see that. That's why I was. Yeah, okay.
I don't think he's a Turner and Hooch dog, though. Are all your guesses going to be movie related?
Probably.
I hear myself slurring quite a bit. I didn't think I had that much eggnog. Not as much as last week. Okay, what? Here's a curveball. Political, international, Alan. Putin. What dog is Vladimir Putin?
He's a Chihuahua. Because he's really annoying and he thinks he's all powerful.
Nope.
No?
Nope,
okay.
You're wrong. Do you want to take another guess?
He's what's a Russian dog? An Irish setter. No,
man, that was really close. Alan, you are.
Really?
You're not right. Google Russian wolfhound.
Okay.
Does that look like Putin with more hair?
It's certain. Oh, it's almost like a what are those called? Silkies.
Yes, it is like a silky. Yeah, that's actually next part of my joke here.
Okay.
So Putin looks like a Russian wolfhound, but also looks exactly like a
Saluki.
Yeah, Saluki.
Right.
It's a body double joke. You get it?
I do.
Here, I'm going to unhighlight this. Look, it's already there. I'm not going to type anything. Look.
Okay, I see. And another dog, Saluki, looks
because it looks like a Russian wolfhound. It's a body double joke. Get it? I wrote that.
I get it. Yes. Very good.
Get it with a question mark.
Very good.
Okay. Okay. Last one for you, Alan. And I think if you guess this right, we're going to go out with this one.
Okay.
Lindsey Graham. Old Ladybugs, Lindsey Graham. What kind of a dog is Lindsey Graham?
See, my first instinct is pug, but we already did that one, so it can't be that.
Why? Let me get your brain juices flowing properly. I'm out of eggnog.
He doesn't have much of a neck. And he, like, kind of.
Okay. But what makes you think that he's a pug? Because of the no neck or because
the no neck and kind of wrinkly, like, you know, jowls kind
of. What about outside of, like, physical description? What about, like, personality traits?
Oh, personality.
Uh-huh. I'm giving you too much of a hint.
He's a. What kind of dog would be, like, a stoner dog? Like,
Lindsey Graham?
Well, I'm thinking of Blue Screening.
You're thinking of Mitch McConnell.
Oh, wait, I'm thinking of McConnell.
No. Mr. Ladybug's Lindsey Graham. Start over, Alan. What kind of a dog is
the same thing with the neck.
Okay.
Man, I am bad at this game.
Take a second. It's fine. Remember, there's only one right answer.
Right.
Alan, it's Lindsey Graham.
He's a dachshund.
Yes!
Wait, really?
Yes, he's a wiener dog.
Hell yeah. I got one.
Lindsey Graham's a wiener dog. And plus, and you know, we get into a little bit more. They're lap dogs, you know, like he is for Trump. And, but they'll bite you. They're vicious.
They are vicious.
Also, yes, wiener dog. I'm so proud of you, Alan. Oh, man. You know what? You get 3 points for that one.
That feels good, man. That
it does feel good. Okay. You're up to 10 points, Alan.
Yay.
All right, man. Well, oh, do we get to say the douchey thing?
Say the douchey thing.
Talk to you next year.
Talk to you next year.
Bye.
Cheers.
When a guy's banging you,
y'all let me in his damn house.
Oh, how about that?
Come in the name of peace.
LMFAO.
So what in the world is this?
Is Kevin McCarthy a moron, and if so, why?
Why would you say something that stupid?
I come without explanations or solutions.
I'm a very sexy lady,
cat turd.
I will not suffer this harlot.
How great, an anti-American Marxist.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Read the news.
China is asshole.
God bless the United States.
Now this is podcasting.